just standing here, but I think the pages in my Bible would fall out if I turned it over. It was getting old as it was, but a few months ago my car, I ran through high water and I had it laying in the front seat and water soaked it to the seat and stuck most of the pages together and the rest of it, you can tell it's not in good shape, but... this morning, I want to talk about basically what the Bible says and what society says the Bible says. It's just, and some things that people say, it's okay, you know, like it's not that big of a deal. Like three wise men. Well, the Bible doesn't say three wise men, but that really doesn't affect doctrine any. To say, you know, the Bible says wise men came from the east. If you ask most people, they'll say there was three. We don't know how many there were. Other things like that in the Bible. But people hear things, you hear things quoted, and it really does change the meaning. And this was brought up this week, so I've heard it in Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chastiseth him betimes." You hear people quote all the time, "He that spareth the rod spoil the child. You spare the rod, you spoil the child." But it's much more critical than that. I spoil my grandkids, but I chastise them if they need it. And this, "He that loveth him chastiseth him betimes." Now, I have a note here in my Bible that says betimes means many times. If that's correct. I know our elder said so far everything that has been said has been correct. Now, I don't want to be the first one to... But if I am, then that's the way it goes. So. But... "He that spareth the rod hateth his son." To me, what this is saying is, if you don't chastise your children when they do something wrong, it's as if you hate them.
Right.
And it's much more different than spoiling them. God says that, you know, if you don't, then you just hate. It's like you hate those children. Because you're not teaching them the way you're supposed to be teaching them. "He that loveth him chastiseth him betimes." This also is, to me, the same way God works on His children.
Right.
For me, and probably for many of you, if you do something or say something you know you shouldn't have said, we have this conscience that says, "Oh, that's, why did I do that? Or why did I say that?" And to me, that's God chastising us. Because He loves us. And I'm not sure He, you know, so those that aren't children of God, and we don't know who those are, but I don't think they feel this chastisement.
Right.
And like I said, you hear this all the time. Another thing is that we also hear, besides this, we hear "eye for an eye" quoted a lot. Well, you know, the Bible says "eye for an eye." But if you read it, Jesus said that basically "eye for an eye" is not the way to, I don't know exact quote on that, the way to go. He says, "Turn the other cheek." Now, maybe in the Old Testament, I think they did try to use the eye for an eye, but we just need, when we hear something put out there, we need to look and see, is that what Scripture really says? And that's all I have.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch
you, Brother Dale. I enjoyed that. Amen and amen. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy in the first epistle, the first letter to the young preacher Timothy, said this. It's found in the first chapter, the 8th verse of 1 Timothy. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Go back to the 116th Psalm. 2 weeks ago, when we stood in this position, we went and used that as the beginning of subject matter for a discourse. And I'd like to go back just to pick up some of it this morning. 116th Psalm, looking at the 12th verse. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? 16th verse. O Lord, truly I am thy servant, I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. The law had been the guiding factor, the guiding instrument in the life of the children of Israel from the time that Moses received it upon the mount. And the law was good. Paul says that, and we can look at the situation that very obviously the law was good. But Paul, on the other side of that, says if a man use it lawfully. So there was an opportunity or a press among the people to not use the law lawfully. The law given to Moses was good. But even Moses, in his lifetime, changed the law. And upon more than one occasion, he changed the law to fit what the people wanted instead of what God wanted. He was not the last to do that. As a matter of fact, historians say that the law has been changed thousands of times from the time that it was given upon the mount until Jesus fulfilled it to a jot and tittle upon Calvary's cross. But the law was good. A man used it lawfully. Remember, we visited with you just a little bit about the sacrifice. Sacrifice is slaughter. It requires the death of something, whether it's a lamb, whether it's a bullock, whether it's a goat, whether it's a pigeon, whatever it is, it required the death of something. Look real quickly, if you don't mind, in Isaiah. Look at the first chapter. We'll start reading this morning in the 5th verse. Isaiah the prophet says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now, it sounds kind of gross, sounds kind of bad, but in a situation, God's telling his children that this is how you've become. You've turned your back upon me. You've done what you wanted to do. I've given you an instrument to guide your daily lives, and you've changed it and changed it to fit your situation. Now, hundreds of years after I gave you the law, we find in this particular chapter that the law had just become of almost none effect. But remember, the law was good if a man used it lawfully. So obviously, there were many that had used it unlawfully, not to a good extent, had changed it to their benefit. Had a conversation with someone the other day, and can't remember if it was here or at work or wherever, but we were talking about the truth. The truth is the truth. If any part of the truth is changed, then it no longer is the truth. It becomes a false narrative. I think we find ourselves today a lot like the children of Israel found themselves in that day and time when they had changed the law so that no longer was it good. No longer was it good, as Paul had said, because people were not using it lawfully. And I think in my heart and my mind today, we find that the Word of God has been changed so much that if you don't have something to read, if you don't have something that's a benefit of the Word of God that comes from what I consider to be the original interpretation, then you're not going to get the true story. Conversation I had the other day was kind of like this. The people have wanted to change the Word to fit what they believe. The law is good if it's used lawfully. But the gospel, the Word of God has been, the written Word of God has been changed so that if you read one and you read the other, if you read the original and you read some man's interpretation, it just doesn't make sense. In this day and time, here's what Isaiah continues to say. He says, your country, 7 verse, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. 8 verse, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Here a while back we used this, and we mentioned those three things. A lodge in a garden of cucumbers, a place dwelt away, a place that was to hide people from the heat of the day, that they could enter therein and not feel the distress of the day and the time. People in Florida right now are hunting some sanctuary. They're hunting some place that is as safe as they can make it to be able to avoid this storm. Storms are not just upon the East Coast and the West Coast. We have storms in our life. And when we have a storm, we run for some type of sanctuary. We run for some place that we can just find comfort and find peace for a while. Go on with me. I want to go down to the 10th verse. First chapter of Isaiah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Here's the situation. In the law, the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, here's the sacrifices. Here's the feast. Here's what I want from you. This is what I want. Here is my word. It is good. Here's what I want from you. But things had changed so. And look what Isaiah's saying here. He's saying, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Now, what had changed that made the sacrifices in this day and time not beneficial? What had changed that it made the sacrifices now that they were bringing forth? What had changed? Had the law changed? The original law that was given to them, it had not changed. But what they had done to the law and the changes they had brought upon the law, it causes the Lord through the prophet to say, what's the reason for all the sacrifices? He said, I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks as of lambs or as of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Who's done that? You know the answer to that? Men. Men have required it. Men have said, well, if this is good, let's do it 50 times plus, and it'll be just that much better. But friend, it doesn't work like that. If God says your sacrifice shall be just like this. Remember the sacrifice we talked about 2 weeks ago? Children of Israel were under bondage to the Egyptians. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, take you a lamb, first year, without blemish. That lamb would not have worked if it had been taken from the second year and had been full of blemishes. God set a precedent and he said, this is how you'll be saved. You'll put it up by itself. Take it away from the goats. Take it away from everybody else. Put it up by itself for an X amount of time. Put it there. And then you are to sacrifice. You're to slaughter that lamb. And you're to take the blood of that lamb and put it on hyssop and mark the posts of your house. And when I pass by, I'm going to see that marking. And because I see the blood of the lamb, because I see that, you're going to be saved. And everybody else that has not marked the doorposts of their house, everybody else, the firstborn in that family, are going to die. Great, great terror in the house that night. But they did what he said. Go on with me just a moment. He said, bring in the 13th verse, bring no more vain oblations. You know what oblation is? Oblation is something we bring to God, something, an offering. He said, bring no more vain oblations. What's a vain oblation? One that I haven't requested. One that I haven't said. One that I haven't sanctioned. That's a vain oblation. He said, bring them no more. Bring them no more. Incense is an abomination unto me. Now, incense was required to be burnt in the holiest of holies, but he said no more. He said because of this situation, incense is an abomination. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is an iniquity, even the solemn meeting. You have to see, as we say sometimes, work. See how he is bottom line? He has told them, you have gone to excess. You have gone far beyond what I've required. Remember, the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. He said, you're not using it lawfully. You're using it for your benefit. You're saying, if this is good, 100 times more will be even better. He said, that's not the way it works. Just not the way it works. Go on with me. He said, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are troubling me. I'm weary to bear them. Listen to this. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. He said, every time I see your hands, every time I see them, they're full of blood, and blood that I've not required. Blood that you've decided is better. Here's how far you have gone from the proper worship to me. Here's how far you have gone from what I have required of you. I haven't required it, and I'm tired of it. Just tired of it. He said, I won't hear you no more. Well, wait a minute. God always hears our prayer. Let me tell you, friend. There's a way it comes. There's a way it's brought. And if it's not brought in that manner, he don't hear that prayer. He just doesn't. And then he says this. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doing. You know, what is amazing about this is I love that particular scripture. I was said one time that I went to the church at Bethany there at McMahon one time, and I preached on this, and they said, you did that because you knew that was Lyndon Baines Johnson's favorite scripture, and you were just trying to be a part of it. They were kidding, okay? Wash you. Make you clean. Put away evil from your way doings before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. He says, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Leave the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Boy, those things right there, we do those, we're going to be okay. You know, we as a church, we as families, we as individuals, we're going to be okay. He said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Turn over to Malachi. Let's look at the first chapter. Malachi, if you're not familiar with Malachi, and I've told you this before, it's the last book in the Old Testament, and it's right before Matthew. So if you get there, go back left from Matthew, and here's Malachi. I want to visit with you just a little bit before we go to that scripture. What by human nature, if a man in a house that has been given the law, and by human nature, he said that we have to offer bread. We have to offer bread, bake the bread, and then he stands and he looks at that bread and he says, you know what? That fresh bread looks awfully good, and we've got some over here that's a few days old. And if I take that and offer it for a sacrifice, who's going to know? The priest, if they know, I can probably give them a little something and it'll be all right. I just hate to see something that good be brought and given to God, and God's not going to come down and consume it. Who's going to know? And also, human nature. God requires us to have a sacrifice of a lamb. And he tells us that it has to be of the first year. He tells us that it has to be without blemish. It has to be without spot. But who's going to know? I've got a lamb right over here that's of the second year. I've got a lamb over here that has a blemish or two, but I'm probably the only one who can see it. But I got one over here of the first year that has no blemish, and if I want to keep that, who's going to know that? Why? If I take that lamb with blemish and substitute it for this lamb with no blemish, who's going to know but me? And I'll be all right. I can handle it. Go to Malachi. Go look at the sixth verse. I say all of this as you're turning there. I say all of this to say this unto you. When we come before God, even and especially in this day and age, there are things we're to bring to Him. We're to bring, first of all, coming to church. We're to be here on Sunday morning. I'm sorry, that's what He said. You're going to hear me say it until I pass from this life. We're due here on Sunday morning. If you're not here, certainly you have good reason. Certainly you do. You get that with God, okay? I don't have a problem. Otherwise, we're here, okay? We're here. And if you're concerned about I'm telling you, then you call and tell everybody that's not here that we really need to be here on Sunday morning, okay? Because that's required. God didn't say, you can come every third Sunday if you want to and you feel like it. If there's nothing else, that's what He said. He said, your sacrifice unto me is a sacrifice of thanksgiving for all I have done for you. All of you that are going through hard times right now, don't get caught up in how hard it is. God has still blessed you. People in Harvey's way, you know, that have just suffered destruction. There's blessings from that. I may have told you this last Sunday. I'm going to tell you again because I'm just terribly forgetful. Have a lady I work with that owned a home in Rockport. And I called her the Friday before it all hit, and she was just concerned. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be gone. I'm not going to have anything. And so I finally called her a little bit later in the week, and she said, you know, the house has just got a few minor damage. She said, just a little bit. She said, I'm going to tell you something. This is not political, okay? I'm going to tell you something. We were outside working. We had on our snake boots. That lost me in conversation right there. I mean, yeah, of course there's going to be snakes down there. Of course they're going to be alligators. She said, we're working on it. And all of a sudden we hear this tremendous noise that sounded like another hurricane coming. And we look up, and there's Air Force One. And it's coming over at a real low altitude. And she said, you know what? It made five circles around and just came. She said, I never knew a plane could fly that low and that slow. But what was happening was someone was observing their situation. And she said, you know what happened from that? We got juiced. We got pumped up. There's help out there. Oh, let me tell you, friend. I tell you something that pumps me up more than that. God is still on His throne. God is still blessing us. God has still got a purpose in our life. No matter how hard it is, no matter how hard it's been, God still got a purpose for us. He does. He does. Malachi. Sixth verse. First chapter. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. And the church says, amen. I love my daddy. And I'm sure if I was a servant to a man on this earth, I'd love him too. He says, and he's speaking for God. If I then be a father, where is mine honor. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that bring you to the reality of life? I honor my father, I honor a master if I was a servant, but God says, where's my honor? Where's my honor? How often have you, he says independently to each one of us, how often have you come to the throne of grace, come to seek my mercy, come and beg me to be patient unto you, no matter your age, no matter how young, no matter how old, how long? He said, oh, Father, if I'm a father, I deserve that. I deserve that. I deserve you to stop what you're doing occasionally and just think about me. I deserve your meditation. I deserve your blessings. I deserve your closeness. I deserve your love. Look what I did for you. I gave it all. I gave my son. I sent him into torment. I sent him into false judgment. I sent him to die for you. Where's my honor? Where's my honor? He said, if I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you said, wherein have we despised thy name? Wherein? I looked that up this morning. You know, it said, by what cause or by what reason or how have we despised your name? You know what's amazing in the Word of God? With every scripture that has a question from God close by is going to be an answer from God. Look what it says. And you say, wherein have we despised you? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar. You know what he said? He said, I saw you. I observed you. I saw you put that good stuff here to the right and go over here to the left and give me that 5-day-old bread. I saw you do it. Where's my honor? Where's my glory? You have offered polluted bread upon, and you say, wherein have we polluted it? By what cause? By what means? He said, in that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. You know what he's saying? That it's of no benefit, that it's no good whatsoever, that it has served no purpose. That's why we gave you the bad stuff, because you didn't deserve the good stuff. The law's good. The man used it lawfully. Look at the 8th verse. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, it is not evil. That lamb there. You know, okay, so it's of the year. But you know that lamb's been blind since it's been born. That lamb, what difference does it make if I offer something that has just a small blemish? What difference does it make? You know what difference it makes? Look what he says. For sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor, or offer it to somebody of high position worldly. Offer it to the governor, and will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now, you know what's amazing about this, and I see it in our lives, but I see it also in the children of Israel, that every time they rejected him, every time they came up against him, every time that they chose a path on their own, he gave them another opportunity for repentance. He gave them another chance, another opportunity. Matter of fact, in his ability, he could see the final rejection of the Jews, and that's why he had taken the Gentiles, and that's why he had brought them into the family of God, and he had adopted them. He had shown them his love because he knew that they would reject him. He knew they would reject his son. But in all this, he gave them one more opportunity. How many times have we had an opportunity to have repentance in our lives, and we have chose not to? Just chose not to. How many times do you say, I'm going to give you one more opportunity, I'm going to give you one more chance, and I don't like to use that word, but one more opportunity to change, I'm going to give you one more. One more. And now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, send the Lord of hosts? You've done this, he said. You've done this very situation. Then in the 10th verse, Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught, or shut the doors of your house for no reason? Who is there? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. And I love this verse. From the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to the children of Israel. I encourage you this week, write that on the yellow sticky and put it upon your refrigerator, okay? Even from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. You know what he's saying? The whole world is going to be covered by my greatness. And I'm going to be a lamp unto the Gentiles. Those that have no hope, those that have no oracles of God, those that have nothing that is spiritual unto me, I'm going to open it all up. And I'm going to bring them into my family. And they're going to be blessed because of it. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, my name will be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Go to the third chapter of Malachi. Go down to the 8th verse. The Lord of hosts says unto his prophet, will a man rob God? And we say within ourselves, how in the world would that be possible? How could anybody do that? I read the other day, you may have read the same thing, that a church, it seemed like it was local, a church had just gotten a pretty good sum of money and was going to give it for the destruction that brought Harvey, and some people came in and stole the money. How in the world can somebody do that? You know how? Because there are among us, and sometimes we're part of them, people that have no conscience, that just do not, that will do most anything. But to see God talking to his children, it brings the question, would you rob God? Will a man rob God? And he answered and said, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And here's the answer. In tithes and offerings. Friend, I'm not necessarily talking about money. I'm not necessarily talking about things of a wealth, although that's part of it. But the things that we're to offer to him, the praises of sacrifice, the sacrifices in this life that we're to offer to him, and we reject it and we say we can't. You know, in essence, we have done the very thing that he has brought the charge against the children of Israel that day. Said, will a man rob God? Yeah, he hath robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. He said, you are cursed with a curse. What's the curse? It's sin. You're cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. He said, it's not just this family. It's not just this locale. It's the whole nation of the children of Israel. They have robbed from God. And I'll tell you something, friend, that declaration does not stop with their death. It's us today. He said, in tithes and offerings and the things that you bring to me, the things that you should offer me, instead of the blind lamb, the one that's whole, and instead of the five-day-old bread, the bread that's fresh, you've robbed me. In praising my name, you've robbed me. You've robbed me. In the 10th verse, bring ye all... Well, look at the promise. Look at it. You realize the terrible declaration that he has made unto the children of Israel through the prophet Malachi? You've robbed me. Humble man robbed God. You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. And look what he said. Look how precious, look how sweet this is. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith. God says, just try me. Just try my graciousness. Just try my majesty. Just try my mercy. He said the age doesn't matter, however young you are, however old you are. Just try me. Just try me. Come unto me. Learn of me. I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. He says, just try me. Bring all the tithes. Bring all the offerings into the storehouse. And look what glorious thing is going to occur. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven. Isn't that amazing? I'll open up the windows of heaven. You know, you haven't experienced that. You haven't seen that. But you do what I say. You follow my command. The law's good. The law's good if a man uses it lawfully. You follow my demands. You follow my leadership. Try me out. Bring the tithes and offerings. Bring it into the storehouse. And I'll do something. Here's what I'll do. I'll open the windows of heaven. You know why he will? He's the only one who can. I'll open the windows of heaven. He says, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Friend, that's what I want for you. That's what I want for our church. That's what I want for our families. That's what I want for me. I want to test him. I want to try him. I've tried him enough in a negative manner. I want to try him now in a positive manner. Bring all the tithes. Bring the offering. Put it in the storehouse and stand back and watch the power of an almighty God. And he opens the windows of heaven. And he said, I'll give you a blessing. Notice that's singular, but it's not just singular. It's continuous. Throughout the days of your life, throughout all the time that you've known, throughout the days that you've lived here, I'll open up a blessing. I'll give it to you. I know you've heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again. But remember when Elijah went into that town and the great famine was around it. And he had been to the brook and the brook dried up and the Lord brought him to Zarephath. And there he met a woman unnamed. And she's out gathering sticks. And she just gathered a few. Asked for a drink. She turned. He asked for a morsel of bread. And she turned on him. And she said, you must not understand the severity of the situation. Those are my words. I'm gathering sticks. I got a handful of meal and a little bit of oil and a cruse. And I'm going to take these sticks. And I'm going to make a fire. I'm going to bake one cake for me and my son. And after we eat it, we're going to die. He didn't say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to impend on your decency. He said, go. Go. He said, because the cruse of oil shall not fail, nor the barrel of meal waste until the day the Lord sends rain. You know what the scripture says? They weren't hungry. They did not die. Lord gave blessing. You know why? Because her attention was no longer on the severity of her situation. It was upon the mercies of God. And every time she went to that barrel, there was a little bit of meal left. And every time she went to the crucible, there was a little bit of oil left. And her whole family was saved. From this situation, he says, bring the tithes and offerings. Put it in the storehouse. And here's what I'll do. You do that. Here's what I'll do. I'll open the windows of heaven. And from that, I'll give you a blessing. And you know what else he's saying? Nobody else can do this. Banks downtown can't do this. All of the people that are doing good things for everybody everywhere, they can't do this. This is for you. This is because you're my child. And I'm your father. And I deserve your honor. And I deserve your praise. And he said, I'll send you blessing. I'll send a blessing that will just overwhelm you in kindness and goodness. I'll bring you up out of a bad situation you find yourself in right now. And I'll sit you I'll stand you upon a solid foundation, which is none other than Jesus Christ. And he said, I'll bless you. I'll bless you without number. I'll bless you without reason. I'll bless you to the point that you will just be overwhelmed, overwhelmed with blessing. I'll do that. In the 11th verse, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You know who that is? That's Satan. That's Satan. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Church, that's yours. That's yours. Families, that's yours. That's yours. When our attention and our mind comes back to Him, the law is good unless a man doesn't use it lawfully. The way He has blessed us. I don't know one of us in here today, and I know some of you pretty well. I don't know of one of us in here that cannot say, God has been so gracious to me. God has been so kind to me. God has been so loving to me. He can say that about this church too. He says it about the pastor. He says it about the pastor's wife. Everyone in attendance, I have been so good to you. I have just given you everything that you stand in need of. I thank you for your attention. I ask you to pray for me and mine when I have a throne of grace. More can be said. Maybe it'll be said at a later time. We stand and sing a certain hymn. Those that have a desire to join the church, this is your opportunity. After we sing a verse, we'll take the right hand of fellowship. Somebody have a selection?